This Thursday, of course, we will celebrate Thanksgiving, and so our message today will focus on the theme of Thanksgiving. And today we're going to anchor ourselves in one of the most repeated declarations in Scripture, which is, give thanks to the Lord. This is more than a polite religious phrase. It is the heartbeat of worship. It is the reason we sing. It is the reason we gather here Sunday after Sunday. The goodness of God and His never-ending love is not just ancient poetry, it is the gospel truth. And it points directly to Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and reigning. If I could give you one takeaway today, it would be this. Gratitude, thanksgiving, is not optional for the believer. It is the natural response of someone who has experienced God's saving grace in Christ Jesus. This phrase, give thanks to the Lord, is actually rooted in the Old Testament. David used this phrase in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, when he is celebrating the return of the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It's repeated often in the Psalms, and it's in the New Testament as well. And the Hebrew word for give thanks is yada, which literally means to cast out or to extend hands in praise. It is more than a polite acknowledgement. It is a heartfelt act of surrender and worship. The word for love here is hased, which is a covenant royal love, not some fleeting affection. It is a steadfast, faithful, unbreakable love. And of course, that love finds its ultimate fulfillment in the cross of Jesus Christ. Friends, I am convinced that the Apostle Paul had this phrase, give thanks to the Lord, when he's writing part of his letter here in Colossians chapter 3, which we're going to look at here for a few moments this morning. Because I believe in these five or six verses we're looking at, that Paul gives us some pretty clear ways of how you and I can be thankful to the Lord. How we can give praise to the Lord. And as he's writing to the Colossian church, he's really writing to all of us of how we indeed can give thanks to the Lord. So let's read our text today. It's again Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, for a message entitled, Give Thanks to the Lord. Hear now the word of God. Paul writes, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. I think we can all agree that giving thanks is important. Giving thanks to God, giving thanks to others for things that they have done. But because giving thanks is important doesn't mean it's necessarily natural. Sometimes we forget to give thanks. We struggle to give thanks. And that's why it's important to have a holiday called Thanksgiving. Not that all of our thanks and gratitude should be stored up for one day a year. But to have that one day on our calendar when we gather as family and friends and celebrate Thanksgiving reminds us that every day is indeed Thanksgiving. So how do we give thanks to the Lord? Well, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossian Christian, and I believe he gives us some insight in our text today that will enable us to answer this question of how we give thanks to the Lord with confidence. First of all, you and I give thanks to the Lord by living a God-glorifying life. By living a God-glorifying life. And that's what Paul suggests in verse 12. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are qualities of a God-glorifying life. When we clothe ourselves with those qualities, we begin to reflect the nature and the character of God. I think we can all agree that those are the very qualities of Jesus. So when we live a God-glorifying life, when we are gentle and patient and kind and humble and compassionate, we begin living as God's children, holy and dearly loved, and we are in fact giving thanks to the Lord. Christ-like character and qualities that we see in followers of Christ is one way we say thanks to God. I'm reminded of the story in the Gospels that comes in Luke chapter 18 of the two men who went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, tax collectors, adulterers, or even like this guy next to me, this tax collector. And he goes on to praise himself for all the good things he does. The tax collector, though, stood at a distance with his head bowed and humbly confessed his sin. And Jesus, at the end of that story, says it is the tax collector and not the Pharisee who went home justified before God. Jesus tells the story to remind us that there is no righteousness within any of us. We are only made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And only then can we live a God-honoring life. You want to say thank you to God today? Live a God-honoring life. Adorn your life with the qualities that Paul describes there in chapter 3, verse 12. Last month, we completed our series, Just Like Jesus, and the goal behind that series is that we would indeed be more like Christ, more like Jesus, God-honoring every day in how we live. There's an old hymn of the church entitled, More Like Jesus, and the words encourage us to live a God-honoring life as a way of giving thanks to the Lord. The hymn begins, I want to be more like Jesus and follow him day by day. I want to be true and faithful and every command obey. More and more like Jesus I would ever be. More and more like Jesus, my Savior who died for me. I want to be kind and gentle to those who are in distress, to comfort the brokenhearted with sweet words of tenderness. I want to be meek and lowly like Jesus, our friend and King. I want to be strong and earnest and souls to the Savior bring. I want to be pure and holy, as pure as the crystal snow. I want to love Jesus truly, for Jesus loves me, I know. The first way that you and I give thanks to the Lord is by living a God-honoring life. But Paul adds even more in verses 13 and 14. How do we give thanks to the Lord? He says in verses 13 and 14, by being forgiving and loving. That's our second point this morning. We give thanks to the Lord by being forgiving and being loving. Paul says, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have. And then he adds, over all these virtues, put on love. Keep in mind that Paul had never visited the church at Colossae. He was never there. But he had learned that false teachers had infiltrated the church, and the church was struggling with relationships. Barriers and divisions were forming. Forgiveness wasn't being preached and certainly wasn't being practiced. The church was being led astray. And Paul, though, brings them back to the foundations of the faith, and in verse 13 and 14, he hits on two of them, forgiveness and love. Little Johnny was very upset with his brother Willie. Before he said his prayers, Johnny's mother said to him, now I want you to forgive your brother. But Johnny was not in a forgiving mood. No, I won't forgive him, he replied. His mother tried the persuasion of every motherly variety, but to no avail. So in desperation, she said, what if your brother were to die tonight? How would you feel if you knew you hadn't forgiven him? Well, this was too much for little Johnny, who reluctantly conceded, all right, I'll forgive him, but if he's alive in the morning, I will get him for what he did to me. Too often, that is how we approach forgiveness. The English word forgive means to literally to give away. That's what forgiveness is, to give away. When a debt is forgiven, your rights to recoup that debt is given away. We struggle with forgiveness, and I think the Colossian church struggled with forgiveness, and that's why Paul adds, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I think there are probably far too many Johnnies in the church at Colossae. You want to give thanks to the Lord, then forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I suspect that he forgave you completely, without reservation. Everything you've ever done. And that's how we are to forgive as well. And be loving. And nothing, my friends, says that we are thankful to God more than being loving to one another. What was the last command that Jesus gave his followers? To love one another. That was his last command, to love one another. And the old spiritual song still rings true today. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Yet another way we say thanks to the Lord, by being forgiving, by being loving. There's a third point which Paul makes to the Colossian Christians in verse 15, and the point is this. How do we give thanks to God? By allowing the peace of Christ to reign in our lives. Paul says as much. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word rule here comes from the language of athletics, and Paul is telling us to let Christ's peace be the umpire or the referee in our heart. Our heart is the center of conflict in our lives. It's where our feelings and our desires clash. It's where we wrestle with fear and hope and trust and distrust and jealousy and love. These conflicting elements are at war in our hearts, and Paul is saying that as followers of Christ, we need to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, not these ongoing battles. Paul says, let the peace of Christ reign in your life and let it be evident in how you interact with others. You are part of one body, Paul says. You're called to peace. In other words, we're to follow the example of Jesus. And Jesus was without question peaceful, and so must we be. How do we give thanks to the Lord? By allowing peace to reign in our lives. And that means the peace of Christ impacts our lives every day, every conversation, every relationship, everything we do and say should be impacted by the peace of Christ. Thousands of people each year visit the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California. This massive structure was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. And for 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was under constant construction. Teams of carpenters, masons, and other workers were employed around the clock. Various stories have been told about the reason for this unusual practice, and most center on Mrs. Winchester's belief that she was either haunted or would be haunted by the ghosts of those killed by her husband's weapons unless she kept building her house. Others claim that she thought she would never die as long as the building continued. Whatever reason, she continued ordering more renovations and construction as long as she lived. There are more than 10,000 windows in the Winchester Mansion. There are doorways and stairs that lead to blank walls, and there are some 160 rooms in total. It's estimated that she spent more than $70 million in today's money for a largely pointless construction, all in a desperate search for peace. It was ultimately doomed to fail. Many people today are seeking peace through equally fruitless means, whether it's through pleasure or drugs or alcohol or immorality or wealth or other dead-end avenues. And just like some of those staircases in the Winchester Mansion that lead to nowhere, so will their efforts to try and find peace apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We find peace when we follow the path God has given us in His Word. And rather than seek peace as an end, we seek the Lord, and peace is a result. It's a byproduct of what we find when we continue to seek the Lord. There is a fourth point we need to make today. In verse 16, Paul tells the Christians in Colossae, that we give thanks to the Lord when we allow His Word to teach us. When we allow God's Word to teach us. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish others. You know, in Paul's day, the teachings of Scripture were often put to music and they were sung. The point, of course, is that we give thanks to the Lord when we allow God's Word to teach us. And the more of God's Word that gets into us, the more we will be taught by God. We'll understand the things of God better. And we'll be able to give thanks to the Lord because of what He continues to reveal to us. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in Scripture. It's 176 verses long. And it has one fundamental subject, the importance of the Word of God. Psalm 119 tells us over and over again how important it is that we know and live out the Word of God. Verse after verse after verse tells us to delight in God's Word, to know the Scriptures, to live our lives according to the Word. The most beloved verse from Psalm 119 is probably verse 105, which says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Friends, when was the last time you let the Word of God dwell in you, to teach you, to admonish you? George Whitefield was one of the greatest preachers of the Bible there ever was. Do you know that George Whitefield read Scripture every morning on his knees? He read it on his knees. The greatest preacher the world had known since the apostles felt that he was unworthy to receive the Word of God in a posture that did not reflect the attitude of his heart. And so he read his English Bible, he read his Greek New Testament, and he read Matthew Henry's commentary every morning on his knees. He felt that that was the appropriate posture to come to the Lord Jesus. I only tell that story as a reminder that of the great influencers of Christ throughout the history of the church, all of them have viewed the daily reading of Scripture as a given, as an essential. It was vital for them to be in God's Word every day. And for George Whitefield, it meant being on bended knee to be able to read God's Word and receive God's truth. Oh, the value of allowing the Word of God to dwell in you richly and to teach you. And lastly, Paul tells the Colossian Christians to serve Jesus with joy. Whatever you do, Paul says, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. How do we give thanks to the Lord? By serving Jesus with joy. You know, serving Jesus shouldn't be a burden. It should be a joy. And when we do, we will be giving thanks to God, because we represent Christ in everything we do. And so when we serve joyfully and with thanksgiving, people notice. Paul ties gratitude in this part of Colossians 3 to both worship and mission. Our thanksgiving is not limited to Sunday morning. It flows into every word, every action, and every decision. When we think about the Lord's table that we receive, the communion that we receive, we are recognized the words of thanksgiving that are in there. We break the bread and drink the cup. We remember with thanksgiving that Jesus died and rose for us. Charles Stanley said, "The more we rejoice in our blessings, the more we will live like blessed people." Thanksgiving shapes behavior. It fuels holiness, and it fuels evangelism as well. The world is drawn to Christ through our lifestyle witness of joy and thanksgiving. And learning to serve others well with joy and thanksgiving speaks volumes. God has given each of us strengths and gifts and abilities to use. You just heard about some of those here through those who were on the BDM trip, using their skills and abilities and their availability to go and to bless others. Here's one thing we need to remember. While biblical servanthood is about helping others, it also produces incredible levels of joy and purpose in our lives. I think Bobby clearly illustrated that in her sharing of how much joy she felt in serving. Truth is, you'll never be satisfied as a man or as a woman or as a believer until you find ways to follow the example of Jesus and become a servant to others. People in the world, they need to see what Jesus really looks like. And we can show them by serving others. By doing so, we'll give thanks to God. Psalm 136 is a great psalm of thanksgiving, and it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." As you prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving holiday this week, my prayer is that you indeed will give thanks to the Lord. And not just on Thursday, but every day as you live a God-honoring life, by being forgiving and loving, by allowing the peace of Christ to reign in your lives, by letting God's Word teach you and admonish you, and by serving Jesus and others with great joy. Oh, if we could just do that, if we could just do those things, our lives would overflow with thanksgiving and praise to God every single day. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let me close with this. Let's not skip over Thanksgiving on our way to Christmas. Can we agree to that? Let's not skip over Thanksgiving on our way to Christmas. Let's stop and remember all that God has done for us this year. Let's truly be thankful. And first and foremost, let's be thankful for Jesus Christ and His amazing saving grace that we have been blessed with. But we can be thankful for so much more too, family and friends and health and those kinds of things. But let's begin with thanksgiving to God for the gift of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you thankful for today? What is your story of thanksgiving? Let me encourage you to come back on Wednesday night for our Thanksgiving Eve service, where you'll hear more stories of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Our God is indeed good to us. Let's give thanks to the Lord, and let's live each day as a day of thanksgiving because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. To the praise of His glory, amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we have heard Your word to us today, the reminder to give thanks to the Lord. And Paul has outlined several ways, a number of ways in which we can make every day thanksgiving by living that God-honoring life, by serving Jesus with joy, by allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, to allow the Word of God to teach us and admonish us, to be loving and forgiving. Father, as we celebrate the holiday this week, we pray that at the forefront of our thanksgiving would be praise to You for Your bounty of blessings in our lives, but the greatest praise, of course, is for the gift of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we recognize that, only then are we truly thankful. So, Lord, may the words of Your message today resonate upon our hearts as we celebrate this week of thanksgiving. And we'll trust You for today in Jesus' name. Amen.